Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Well, hello there. It's Tim Walt, chair of the VCOS section of the IAFC. Once again, we're doing a subject topic matter that's important to the volunteer and the combination fire service. Today's topic, we're going to be addressing creating successful combination systems with firefighters and EMS personnel. And on the panel today to share their knowledge and their information is Chief Tom Maloney from Washington State and Ted Aresti, Executive Director from New York. So welcome, gentlemen, to the VCOS podcast today. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on today. With that, I'd like to introduce each one and just give a brief background of yourself and maybe a little bit about your department or your surroundings so our listeners have an opportunity to know where you're from. I'll start off with Chief Fire Marshal Tom Maloney from Washington State. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thanks, Tim, and thanks for having me on to participate in this. As Tim said, I'm the Chief Fire Marshal for Snohomish County, Washington, which is located in Everett, Washington, and covers 2,100 square miles, and we deliver service to about 680,000 people, which is the county size, and then we provide fire investigation services, fire inspections, plan review, public education, and code enforcement for all the unincorporated areas within Snohomish County. Prior to joining Snohomish County, I was the fire chief in Polson, Montana. And prior to that, I was the education coordinator for the New York State Fire Chiefs and the chief of Eagle Mills Volunteer Fire Department in upstate New York. And I currently have over 24 years of experience in the fire service and completing my master's in public administration.
Well, welcome, Chief. Appreciate taking the opportunity to be on the call with us today. With that, I'd like to introduce our another member, Ted Aresti, who is the executive director from New York. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here. My background is about 22 years in the fire service. I've been a volunteer firefighter for that entire time. The past 3 years, I've also served as the paid executive director of our fire district. Our fire district serves an area of about 10 square miles. We have about 35,000 people that reside within those 10 square miles. We do about 2,500 calls a year. 45% of those are emergency medical service calls. We're a non-transport agency providing BLS services. We have 25 career line firefighters and 5 paid officers, about 80 volunteers, and we also do our own dispatching. We have 4 full-time dispatchers. We run with 3 stations servicing the 10 square miles.
Well, welcome, Ted, and I'm glad you're here to join us. Tim Wall, I'm a volunteer fire chief from Wallingford, Connecticut. The Wallingford Fire Department is a combination system with 61 career firefighters, approximately 100 volunteer firefighters, and I'm a district volunteer chief in that. I have presently 33 members and also a junior program, Explorer Post, under my membership. Welcome, Chief Buckman, and can you give us an introduction of yourself, Chief Buckman, for our listeners, please?
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for inviting me to come on. I've been the fire chief at German Township Volunteer Fire Department for about 31 years. We're a small combination system in 60 active volunteers and 2 career people during the day, during the week. And had the distinct pleasure of being chair of the VCOS and president of the International Association of Fire Chiefs.
Wow, that's quite of accomplishments of those 2 things there, Mr. Buckman. Welcome to the call, and we appreciate you being here. So let's get right into our subject matter of today, and we'll start off with Ted. Ted, What's your feeling, and what do you think you've learned, or what can you share with our listeners about creating a successful combination system of firefighters and EMS? Where do you start? What's your, you know, is it a money thing? Is it membership? Is it the strategic plan? Is it buy-in? So what do you feel?
Well, I mean, the easiest answer is yes to everything you just said, but taking a step back, I think it's really important that starting at the top, there'd be a clarity of where the organization's going, because there's a lot of apprehension when you're putting career personnel and volunteer personnel working side by side. And when I talk about clarity of purpose and vision, you know, what is the end game? Where is the organization going? Is it going to become an all-paid department? Is it going to be a thriving combination department? You know, in our organization, our mission is to be a thriving combination department, and we work hard to communicate that to both the volunteers and the career staff so that there isn't a feeling, and sometimes we're better than others at it, but there isn't the apprehension that the volunteers are going to replace the career staff or the career staff is here to eliminate the volunteers. And that's really one of the cornerstones of having a successful department, is making sure that everybody knows that no one's there to eliminate somebody else and knowing what everybody's role is in that organization.
So you're saying, Tim Wall answering or questioning, is no one agenda. It's got to be a group effort and a starting point.
Absolutely.
Chief Maloney, with your experience at different organizations, what do you feel, or what can you add to what the executive director just shared?
Well, I would definitely agree with what Ted has just said. In addition, as the organizations grow, we're seeing a struggle to maintain volunteer memberships as well. And so as we continue to grow and struggle to maintain membership, the leadership, the administrations of these organizations need to identify, as Ted has said, the direction and the expectation of service levels that we're going to deliver, which would include having a strategic plan to mitigate those bumps in the road, and that work plan to identify those crucial projects that need to be identified to transition to a combination from an all-volunteer department. And it's that transition that we, as we start, is significant, because there is that apprehension within the volunteer membership, they're going to do away with me. And then as we hire career staffing, the career folks say, well, we're here. Sometimes we don't need volunteers, which really truly isn't the case in these combination systems. And there's a wide array of systems that are out there that are very effective, and there's some that struggle because they're not prepared to deal with challenges. And I think as we, as fire service leaders, continue to gain the opportunity to deliver a great service to our constituent, which is the taxpayer, we have to provide a plan of action to deliver that. And so I think having what the expectations are when we start to transition to a combination system, having that plan to meet those expectations, and the equality amongst the members to show that everything is uniform and that no one person is not a viable resource within the organization.
A lot of information there, Chief Maloney.
All
Chief
right.
John Buckman, what do you have to share of the starting point? And we'll come back and pick up a couple of these topics that each of you gentlemen have shared with us.
I think they both brought up some very valid points, and I agree with most of them. I think Ted made a comment about, you know, where the organization is going, and I might even encourage our listeners to look before. It's not about the organization so much. It's about where the community is going. And I know that Ted's community has determined a long time ago they'd be a combination system. But my point is that you should, as much as possible, involve your community in the future of their fire department and their fire protection services. We need to get engaged in the planning aspects of our communities. I was just in Maryland at the Maryland EMS conference this past weekend, and made a comment. There's somebody in your community that knows what's going to happen in your community, and that what's happening in your community will impact your fire department and impact your volunteers and impact that combination system. And this guy stood up and he goes, you know, there was a subdivision proposed 15 years before it was ever built. And because our area planning commission told us about it, we knew about it 15 years before it was built. It helped us argue for fire stations and fire apparatus. So it is important to get your community engaged and look for who has the power to influence your community's future.
Okay, with sharing that, and I'll go to Ted Oresti, Executive Director. So what do you do? Who do you bring to the table to maybe start looking at creating? Now, is this something that we have to do that the fire chief in his leadership role or her leadership role has got to say? We have to do business differently. And are you looking at saying that maybe taking your combination system and keeping it successful, or are you looking at your system and creating a successful combination system? And I'll give that to the Ted Oresti, the executive director. Where do we want to start, Ted? Are we existing or we're moving?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, I think it's a constant evolution. I think that we're constantly looking at where we're at. Is people change? The things that motivated people today or yesterday change to tomorrow, and we have to constantly reevaluate. We're talking to our line officers. We're talking to our fire commissioners, which are publicly elected officials that in our case are typically volunteers. We're talking to our career staff. We're talking to our volunteers, and we're pooling information from all of them to find out what motivates them, what's working for them, what isn't working for them, and we're constantly having to reevaluate what we're doing and how we're doing it. It's a constant state of flux. I don't think we can ever sit back and say, hey, we're where we are and we're going to stay there for long, because if we do, we're going to fall behind.
All right, let me bring it to a starting point, and I think you got into a little of a strategic planning and SWOT analysis and keeping everyone involved. But Tom or John, where do you want to start? I'm saying, is it as leaders that we're recognizing that we have to change the way we do business? Is it something that the community is changing? What's the starting point? And then, like, who do we bring to the table to say we have to either create or we have to stay existing a successful combination department? Who are some people we want to bring to the table to talk? And John Buckman, who would you want to invite to your table of six or seven to start? And let's go with start with your strategic plan to keep your program very successful.
Well, you have to know your community, because each community is going to be a little different. Some cases you'll have a very strong chamber of commerce. You could have very strong churches, PTAs, a variety of groups that actually have a tremendous amount of power on elected officials. And so I look for that in a community, and look who has the power. You know, ask yourself the question, who is influencing the future or the elected officials, which impacts our future? So, I mean, it's a fairly simple answer to a very complex issue, because it's not just three or four groups. You could have multiple groups that could be as many as 20 or 30 people, depending on the size of your community. But usually you can look around and see the people who are behind the scenes telling the politicians, this is what we want. And if you can get those kind of people engaged, it will help you as you create or as you transform your fire department into a combination system.
Chief Maloney, how would you kind of start, or who would you recommend following the suggestions brought forward?
And I would agree with everything as well. And I think for me, as I transition to where I am today and having the opportunity to serve in a community that the fire department was not active in the planning process and then became active, was critical. And to know those players, and it's what's critical for fire chiefs and fire officers and even the elected officials who make the policy decisions in fire districts, that they do need to get engaged. And I think primarily as we start our strategic planning process to identify what our strengths and weaknesses are, we need to bring community leaders, whether they be from the chamber, other elected officials, strong builders associations, groups of that nature in and ask them what they see, because ultimately the taxpayer, which is our stakeholders, as we would call that for our strategic plan, are the ones that ultimately will make a decision when it comes to funding mechanisms to support the fire department. And I think as we get those folks engaged, we can then help develop our plan to meet their needs. You know, we may have this great opportunity to develop a new program, but it doesn't suit the community needs. And so what do? We used a lot of time and resources to promote a great program, but the community doesn't see it as a great program. And so the backlash of that could result in negative publicity, which will affect funding mechanisms.
Jim, let me just second his comments, because I mean he really is right on target with what he said there about the stakeholders, and it relates back to what I said, but he took it to another level, and that's critically important to ask your community what kind of fire protection they want, because the answer to that question will tell you what they're willing to pay for. Because there's a huge difference between what the fire chief may want and what the community wants. And ultimately, as the chief said, they're the ones who are going to pay the bill.
So once you get these stakeholders, some leaders of the community, into a room and you talk about your, let's say, strategic plan, and you do a SWOT analysis, and to the panel, when do you bring your fire department in? Where do you play the role of whether you want to go down to your assistant chiefs, your other officers, and your firefighters and personnel? Chief Buckman, where do you recommend that comes involved?
Well, I think the fire department.
And what's the carrot at the end? Remember, we're still talking, or we're still trying to create and or maintain a successful combination system of firefighters and EMS.
Well, the firefighters are a stakeholder just like the community is. The problem in many cases is that the firefighters think they are the primary stakeholder or the singular stakeholder, and I think they should be at the table, but I don't think they should be the dominant force at the table. I mean, if you have six or eight community-minded citizens who sit on this, for lack of a better term, we're going to call the Future of Fire Protection in our community committee, then you might have two or three members of the fire department who are on there, and that you could have it from varying degrees, from an officer to a mid-level officer to a new firefighter. But the thing is that you have to be engaged. You have to engage these people who sit at the table. Ask them what they want. The fire department's got to be prepared to answer why things have to be the way they have to be.
Chief Maloney, sharing on.
I would. In going through this process, I would totally agree with Chief Buckman. It is critical, mission critical, for any service organization that provides service to a community through tax dollars or anything is to include all the stakeholders at the beginning to get that buy-in. If we don't engage our memberships to buy in this program, nothing will be successful. We're creatures of our own habit, right? If we love something, we go above and beyond. But if firefighters do not think that there's any benefit for them in the end, they will drag their feet all the way through the process. And ultimately, the informal leaders within the group will not allow that program to be successful. I know that when I did it, when I was in Montana, we brought a group of folks in and sat everybody in a room for a weekend and said, tell us what's good, tell us what's bad, and how do you want to get there? and we laid it all on the table. Everybody had buy-in, and it worked really well.
Okay.
Ted from New York, and I agree with both Chief Buckman and Chief Maloney, and I think that an important part of the process that helps in educating, you know, the firefighters side of the thing is to, early in the process, you know, inquire from the external stakeholders what their understanding is, and it becomes very enlightening, because at least when we've reached out to the community and asked questions, we've always been very amazed at how little understanding there is of what we do, how we're organized, and the services that we deliver. And it's often very humbling, and it helps us to understand, you know, how to better target some of our marketing and some of the things that we try to communicate to the community going forward, but also in our planning. And that's been very helpful to us.
Hey, Tim, let me, this is John again. I think Ted made a very good point about the community. The public in general has very little understanding of what a fire department does, much less what a volunteer or combination fire department is. They don't understand how fire departments operate, other than the picture they have and most people have is they just sit around playing checkers and wait for that bell to ring. And we all know that's very true. But what I would also say as it relates to Chief Maloney's comment about that strategic plan, when you bring those stakeholders together, do not, I repeat, do not have a strategic plan written and throw it down in front of them and say, here's what we think we want to do. You will insult them, and you will not get them to do the work that you need them to do, because you need the general public to become an advocate for your fire department. I mean, I did that. You know, I mean, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, we tried for a major tax initiative. We did our work. We got our petitions. We had all our stuff signed. We had enough things to make it happen. But we ticked off a small group that we didn't realize had a lot of power, and that was the farmers. And so what we did, we stopped the tax initiative. We brought people back together, including the opposition, and said, okay, this is what we thought we were going to do. Now, this is what you don't want to do. So tell us what you want to do. End result was we got our money. It was 2 years later. But because we educated them, and it's like one of the comments was we wanted to have staff, part-time staff, staff the station all the time. They go, well, you already have that. No, we don't. Well, you have people there all the time. They just assumed that they were being paid to be here. This goes back to Ted's comment about the public has very little understanding of what a fire department does, much less a volunteer fire department.
And Chief Tim Wall adding that, okay, the important part is to think this out, and you have to involve not only your community but your fire department. You have internal and external customers. You want to start with a meeting and say, what's the vision of, one hand, what's the vision of the community or your town or your township or city, and then what's the vision and what do you want the fire department to do, whether, you know, and that plays a role in your EMS, as we want to, you know, share with our listeners today, what makes a successful and or creating a successful combination department of firefighters and EMS personnel. We talked about the money situation. There may be some funds to get going. We talked about adopting the vision, adopting a plan that I would say to the panel, and you know, what's your feeling? Is this a buy-in for 3 years, a buy-in for 5 years, or something that's going to take 7 years? And do we want to, you know, every 2-3 years, do we want to look at where we are again? And I'll start off with Executive Director Ted Oresti.
My honest belief is it's a lifetime. Our organization was founded in 1925 as a combination department. 83 years later, I believe that we're still in pursuit of perfect harmony as a combination department. We're constantly evaluating and reevaluating the way in which we do things. But it's a never-ending process. I think that we are constantly pulling back and looking at what works, what doesn't work, looking at our different stakeholders, finding out what motivates them, why they're happy. The volunteers, again, there's a struggle in trying to get volunteers to come around, to get them to sign up, to stay around, the training requirements. We're constantly balancing that, looking at the career force. It's a never-ending battle from my perspective.
Chief Maloney?
Yeah, I just echo Ted's comments. I think it's an annual, the strategic planning process never stops. Once you initiate that process, it doesn't sit on the shelf. That strategic plan, that whole process is what guides the organization in its daily events. It looks at the strengths and the weaknesses. As we try to create more time for staff, both career and volunteer, to train, it becomes harder for us to be able to do that with the requirements. And if we take that a step further, our volunteers as well today have less time because of maybe more than one job or family commitments, but yet they're a vital role within our organization. And for us to do them justice, we need to provide them that training. So to just summarize quickly, the strategic planning process starts with the initiative that the organization is willing to make change, cultural change. And when we make that cultural change, our commitment is to look at that strategic plan, to develop it for a successful organization. But what comes with that, we also have our long and short range goals, and our work plan to meet the objectives and goals of the strategic plan. And that's how our organizations are guided to be successful.
Thank you, Chief Maloney. Chief John.
Ted from New York. If I can just throw in
sure,
one comment.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
I think, from our perspective, I think one of the things that's held our progress back for a number of years, you know, that longstanding tradition or phrase in the fire service, you know, the 100 years of tradition unimpeded by progress. I think that as we talk about creating a successful system of combination, which is, you know, taking over a lot of volunteer departments and departments that are evolving over time in that direction, you really have to get beyond that slogan, and you really have to accept change, and change on an annual basis, as Chief Maloney talked about, and revising strategic plans, and you have to embrace that change with great regularity, and it really flies in the face of a lot of tradition, and it really is time in combination departments that are going to move forward to accept that on a regular basis, and it's hard, but it's something that really has to happen.
Chief John Buckman?
Tim, this is John. I would say there's one thing we probably haven't talked about, and that is the emotional aspect of this. And that chief officer, that leader, who is ever leading this strategic plan or this transformation process, has to understand there's probably more emotional opposition to this than there is factual opposition. And as a chief, you've got to be prepared for that emotional opposition. You got to be prepared to communicate everything. Lay it all out there. Don't have secret meetings. Don't have secret memos. Don't develop a secret white paper. No secrets. Put it all out there. Tell them why we need to do this. Explain to them what it is that, you know, we're trying to do. Explain to them how it will be better for those who are mostly opposed to it. But in the end, you may still have to. You're not going to get everybody to go along with this. Even if your case is, you know, solid, and you're going to get all 12 jurors to vote, you know, to convict, there's still going to be a couple who are sitting in the back of the courtroom going, "Nope, don't want to do this." No matter what kind of case you build, but there is a huge emotional one. There's a huge emotional ownership by the volunteers, probably more. Something more to fight than the facts is the amount of ownership that volunteers have within their association, the amount of pride that they have that you, you're going to take this away, you're going to take something away from them. And so as the chief or the leader, you're going to have to make sure that you fight to overcome that emotional aspect of opposition.
Well, with sharing that from Chief John Buckman and Chief Tom Maloney and Executive Director Ted Oresti, I thank you, gentlemen, for sharing a portion of what we can talk about today about strategic planning, doing your SWOT analysis, doing your vision, meeting with your stakeholders, your internal customers, and your external customers.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Well, welcome back to VCOS with firehouse.com, our radio broadcast today. And we have a panel of three experts across the United States. And closing out with our today's subject matter, creating a successful combination system of firefighters and EMS personnel. I'm going to ask each panel member to give a brief closing statement or information that they'd like to share with our listeners and maybe some opportunities or some places to get some more information. So with that, we'll go to our good friend Tom Maloney from Washington State. Tom?
Thanks, Tim. What I would say and how we develop great combination and EMS departments is that we want to be open through the whole process to create success. And how we do that is that we form clarity. And so through that formation of clarity in the center, we're going to list our possibilities, create opportunity, take action. We're going to go to that completion mode, and it's all done through relationships. And as we do that, we will be successful in meeting the needs of our stakeholders, both internal and external, the external stakeholders being the taxpayers. It's a great opportunity for combination organizations and even volunteer organizations to network with people that have similar problems and challenges. And as an attendee, I gained so much information through this group and contacts that I still use today when I have problems.
Well, the VCOS tries to reach out to our members and non-members, just to the volunteer combination fire service and EMS, to share information, share success stories. And one thing with this, our panel today, is we are practitioners. We are the people that are out there. We are doing strategic planning. We are having challenges. We are sharing information, and we are constantly networking. And Chief Maloney brings up an opportunity of an education is the Symposium in the Sun. It's sponsored with the Volunteer Combination Officers Section with the IAFC. It's a four-day opportunity to come into a meeting to hear different topics, and as Chief Maloney talked about, and I'm sure the other people on the panel will share, it's we take over the hotel and another hotel, so no matter where you go, no matter where you sit, no matter where you're standing, there's another brother, there's another leader in the fire service that may have challenges that you want to share, or you may want to discuss some things with him or her, and it only makes you better and brings your context back as to home. And one of the topics at the Symposium 2008 that's going to be held in Clearwater, Florida this year. It starts on Thursday, October 30th. It's all day Thursday with a pre-con, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are some breakouts and some opportunity to hear different speakers. And on our panel today, our Executive Director, Ted Oresti, from Brighton Fire District in New York, will be discussing creating a successful combination system. So, Ted, if you want to share something, what you're going to be talking about, some discussion points we had today, and also you've been to the symposium before, correct?
That's correct. This year will be my sixth year in attendance at the symposium, and I can honestly tell you that the symposium has had a profound effect on our organization. We've sent anywhere from 5 to 10 people a year down. We send everything from our fire commissioners down to line firefighters and officers down to the symposium, and it's opened up our organization to a lot of change. We've tried new things. the networking that goes on at this conference is sensational. You talk about exposure. No matter where you go in the hotel, you're meeting people from other departments. We encourage the people that we bring down, you know, when you go to breakfast, instead of sitting with the guys you know, go to a table where there's people that you've never met before. Sit down, and before you know it, you're talking to brother firefighters from who knows where in the country, and all of a sudden you're talking to them and you're hearing about similar type problems. You're finding out solutions that they've come up with to address the same kind of problems you're dealing with at home, and you can bring those ideas home. It's been a phenomenal opportunity for our organization, something I look forward to every year, as do other members of our organization. And I have found that the conference, the other neat thing about this conference that I can't overemphasize is the size of it. It's not like an FDIC or an iChiefs where there's tens of thousands of people. You're talking about hundreds of people, so it's small, it's intimate, and that really helps with the networking. It's an ease. You can approach people. People are happy to share their experiences with one another, and it's the total atmosphere of information exchange.
Thank you very much for being with the VCOS discussion today. Appreciate your time and sharing your experience, and looking forward to your presentation at the symposium in November. Thanks for being on today.
It's a pleasure, and I look forward to it. If I could, for just a minute or so, I would just like to talk a little bit some of the things that will be going on in my presentation with regards to the managing and running of combination departments, just to kind of give people one of the things that I like to talk about are differences and similarities. I think we talk an awful lot when we talk about combination departments and trying to make everything the same. And we try very hard to do things the same, treat volunteers and paid firefighters exactly the same. One of the things I spend some time talking about are the inherent differences. And I think that it's very important that as you're creating a combination fire department, that you understand those inherent differences, because there are certain things that you cannot make the same. And it's important as you're building an organization that you have an understanding of that. I'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about training and the importance of training together, and why you need to do that, and understanding the impact on your organization if you don't do that, how you dress, and the importance of looking the same so that when you're out in the public, why that makes a difference, getting creative and meeting some of the staffing needs that you have. We'll be dealing with a lot of different issues in managing a combination department that I think people will find very interesting.
Sounds very informative, and look forward to seeing your presentation and being there. And I believe with you talking to network, so you, an opportunity for attendees hopefully to see you at some point during the breaks or during the 3 or 4 days to maybe even pick your brain a little more and actually have a one-on-one conversation with you, Ted.
Absolutely. I would look forward to that and welcome it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chief John Buckman, one of the the founders of or co-founders of the VCOS section, and also very instrumental for the VCOS on the symposium. If you can close out our topic today and also share some of the vision that you had with the VCOS and along with the symposium, and maybe tie in some of the reports that the organization has printed and distributed to the fire service on a national level.
Tim, thank you. This is John Buckman, and I would say that the one thing the VCOS does made me extremely proud. When you know, I turned over the reins of the leadership to Fred Windisch, it was still in its infancy. And through various chairs as well as various committee members, the section has grown to be the biggest in the IFC and also the strongest. So, you know, I think the VCOS has done very good. The topic for today is about building a great combination fire department. I would just close out with a couple thoughts. When you're looking at an all-volunteer fire department who's facing the challenge of scratching on calls, not responding to the needs of the community as rapidly as they should or could, I would challenge the members of that fire department to realize that this is not about failure. When you transform a fire department, you are not failing. You actually are succeeding. You are meeting the needs of that community by making sure that you stay abreast, that you make the modification to your delivery system so that you will respond when there's a heart attack or a structure fire or even one of those events where a child gets their finger stuck in something and you've got to go rescue them. But people should be proud of the fact that they are not selfish and that they realize that this is not the firefighter's fire department. This is the community's fire department, and make sure that they continue to meet the needs of the community. Transformation should be transparent. It should not be a rocky road. It should not be done under duress or under threat. If the leadership and if the firefighters recognize the need for transformation early, then this will be a smoother process. I won't say it's going to be smooth, but there are so many methods for implementation of a combination system. Attend the symposium in the sun. Meet people who have already done it. Read the red, white, and blue ribbon reports written by the VCOS, available free of charge, even if you're not a member of the VCOS, on the VCOS website at vcos.org. And remember, running a volunteer or combination fire department is very, very difficult. It takes creativity. It takes innovation. But more than anything, it takes a mentor, someone who's been through it before, who can help you see the light and help make your job a little easier. Thank you for inviting me to be on tonight, Tim.
Well, Chief Buckman, we appreciate your taking your time to be out and share with the listeners. The VCOS is very active, and we try to listen to the fire service, the members, when they come to us with requests, assistance, networking. We're constantly getting emails or phone calls, and I'm sure this will generate some more interest of things that the VCOS can do for the volunteer and combination fire service. We'd like to thank Firehouse.com for working with us and doing another podcast. We welcome you to visit the VCOS website. We welcome you to come to the symposium in the sun or go on the website. We have our contact information, and send us a note or a comment and suggestion, and we'll see what we can do to help the volunteer fire service. So with that, I'd like to conclude our topic for today. Thank our panel of Chief Tom Maloney from Washington State, Chief Executive Director Ted Oresti from New York, and Chief John Buckman from Evansville, Indiana. This is Tim Wall from Wallingford, Connecticut, Volunteer Fire Chief, Chair of the VCOS, and I hope you've got some information or some suggestions or some thoughts with our topic of today of creating a successful combination system of firefighters and EMS personnel. Thank you very much for listening. Stay safe out there.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website, www.firehouse.com/radio.